Macmillan Audio presents What Truth Sounds Like, Robert F. Kennedy, James Baldwin, and Our Unfinished Conversation About Race in America, by Michael Eric Dyson. Read for you by the author. To Crystal McCrary and Ray McGuire, dear friends, living embodiments of Black America's grace and genius. The Martyrs. The blood of martyrs soaks the soil of American society. The life given to us by the deaths of a few has altered the course of history and strengthened the heartbeat of justice in our breasts. The willingness to surrender one's life for a righteous cause doesn't come easy. Nor does it keep the depraved men who kill our heroes from believing they are driven by destiny or divinity. But the sacrifice of extraordinary figures has given us a firmer grasp of truth and democracy than their killers ever imagined. John Wilkes Booth may have wished to stop the liberation of enslaved blacks when he murdered Abraham Lincoln, but he strengthened their cause with his fatal shot. In the 1960s, the deaths of three men changed America and caused us to reckon anew with our ideals. John F. Kennedy made us hope that American ingenuity would triumph over ignorance, that science would defeat superstition. His youthful effort to tame our cynicism ended tragically in 1963 on a dark day in Dallas. His brother Robert met a similar fate just 5 years later. Robert had emerged from his brother's shadow to lay claim to a reviving sense of national purpose, to slay the dragons of poverty, and to vanquish the demons of insincerity. Between their assassinations was lodged the death of a man who was arguably greater than them both. He held no office, nor did he enjoy the privileges of white skin. He sought to cure the American soul of its bigotry against a black people it had snatched from a far continent, a black people that the nation had, for corrupt purposes, fettered in its twisted white imagination. Martin Luther King Jr. crushed the facade of American decency and called on us to revisit our neglected moral ambition, preaching the gospel of love in a time of withering hate. 50 years ago, on April 9, 1968, at 10:30 a.m., 1,300 people filed into Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta for the private funeral of a man who, like his father before him, had once served as its pastor, the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. Attendees included Thurgood Marshall, Will Chamberlain, Marlon Brando, Dizzy Gillespie, Stokely Carmichael, and Richard Nixon, who was then running for president. The sitting president, Lyndon Baines Johnson, did not come because he didn't want to drape the service in the controversy of the Vietnam War, a cause to which he had devoted significant resources. The choir, 160 strong, sang sorrowful hymns. King's dear friend and gospel legend Mahalia Jackson delivered a plaintive accounting of the fallen leader's favorite hymn, Take My Hand, Precious Lord. Ralph David Abernathy, co-founder of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and a man whom King described as the best friend I have in the world, officiated. A lone singer performed a devastating rendition of My Heavenly Father Watches Over Me. But the most memorable speaker that morning, a haunting baritone piped out of tinny speakers that left his four children startled, was King himself. If any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral, King pleaded posthumously in a recording from his Drum Major Instinct sermon, given 2 months earlier and played at the behest of his widow, Coretta. He didn't get his wish. The service lasted 2 hours, followed by a public, nationally broadcast funeral held that afternoon at King's alma mater, Morehouse College. As a 9-year-old kid in the Detroit ghetto, I was drawn to the television screen to view the funeral. I was just beginning to understand my blackness, just learning that it existed, that it was essential in a world where whiteness loomed as an unknowable force. I had never gone to school with white kids, had rarely even interacted with white folk outside of the neighborhood business owners from whom my father, and eventually I, worked. I didn't know what they liked or how they thought of the world, how they handled their disappointments, or whether they...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?